So our three speakers for this session are Mark Lee, Teresa Aquilina and Nicole Gamarov. I'll introduce each of them when it's their turn to speak. So first of all, introducing Mark Lee, who will be speaking first. Mark is the MD and CEO of Legion Consulting. He's a graduate of Duntroon, has almost 10 years' experience as an officer in the infantry in the Australian Army Reserve. And in addition, he has over a decade in banking and finance and has spent the last 4 years using these skills in what he describes as entrepreneurial endeavours. So we hope that's going well. And he's founded Legion in response to, you know, what is obviously an evolving global security climate and an emerging need and recognition of the need for greater preparedness. And Legion provides a proactive approach to managing contemporary risk. So will you please join with me in welcoming Mark now to speak.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, David, for your introduction. And I would like to thank the Actuaries Institute for the opportunity to speak today. Ladies and gentlemen, the topic I would like to talk about is one that has been consistently headline news for over the past decade. Terrorism can be defined as any action or threat of action that causes harm or interference with the intent of advancing political, religious, or ideological causes. Although terrorism has been around for centuries, the turning point of this modern terrorism problem began on September 11, 2001, with the attacks on the east coast of the United States of America. In the wake of September 11, major terrorist attacks targeting Westerners included the Bali bombings in 2002, the Madrid bombings of 2004, the London bombings in 2005, the Mumbai attack in 2008, the Kenya shopping mall attack in 2013, and the two attacks in central Paris last year. And we've just witnessed the recent attack in Brussels. In 2014 alone, globally, over 32,600 people were killed in acts of terrorism. If we look at the following chart, terrorism fatalities worldwide, there has been nearly a tenfold increase in fatalities due to terrorism over the last 14 years. This was a result of over 61,000 terrorist attacks over the same period, killing more than 140,000 people. Looking at this next graph, showing the increasing spread of terrorism, we can see there has been a marked increase in the number of countries suffering major terrorist activity. In 2014, there was a 120% increase on the previous year in the number of countries that suffered more than 500 fatalities as a result of terrorism. Whilst all of these large-scale attacks occurred overseas in hotspots such as the Middle East, in Africa, and now increasingly Europe, Australians must be mindful that this modern terrorism problem will eventually reach our shores. Depending on metrics used, Australia is the second largest military contributor to the US-led coalition campaign against ISIL. We must therefore prepare ourselves for the reality of terrorism. We are not immune and we are not removed from the rest of the world. But Australia is no stranger to terrorism. We have seen acts of terrorism here since the 1970s and possibly even earlier. While some of these incidents were perpetrated by homegrown Australian citizens, the vast majority of these acts were carried out by people who either belonged to or had links to foreign groups. Some of these internationally motivated acts included the assassination of the Turkish Consul General and his security attaché in Sydney in 1980, and the bombing of the Turkish consulate in Melbourne in 1986. In recent times, Australians have been extremely lucky with our authorities preventing major terrorist attacks. Numerous notable terrorist plots between 2003 to 2015 were foiled, with intended targets ranging from random civilians to infrastructure assets and even military compounds and their personnel. However, even with the best efforts of authorities, some attacks were still able to be executed, such as the Lindt Cafe siege and the Parramatta police station shooting. These plots, both foiled or successful, were accompanied by a growing number of threats made against soft targets, such as education institutions and shopping malls throughout Australia. Whilst many of these threats were hoaxes, the act of either foolish youths or disgruntled employees, we cannot afford to be complacent. We are a high-profile target. So what is the modern terrorist threat, and how does it differ from what we've seen prior to September 11? That question is best answered by first considering who the modern terrorist is. Religious extremism is the number one factor behind the vast majority of global modern terrorism. Although the roots from which religious extremism grows is complex, its actions are driven by radical fundamentalist interpretation of religious ideology and their preparedness to enforce this view through extreme violence. The modern terrorist threat has taken on larger proportions and wider borders, driven by a new breed of terrorists and their evolving tactics. A globalized world and the information age has resulted in the evolution of the transnational terrorist, operating from decentralized networks but able to mount coordinated attacks. The modern terrorist is an unprecedented phenomenon of the 21st century. Simultaneously, there has been a rise in the so-called lone wolf terrorist. Citizens who have never been overseas to receive any sort of terrorist training, but have been radicalized, received encouragement and instruction online. If we look at this pie chart showing fatalities in Western countries as a result of lone wolf attacks, in the period between 2006 to 2014, 70% of all fatalities from terrorism in Western countries were the result of lone wolf attacks. However, it must be noted that 80% of those fatalities were not the result of international religious extremism, but were caused by nationalists, political extremists, and racial supremacists. Lone wolf terrorists are extremely difficult to detect due to their low profile and inside knowledge of their own country. In 2012, the Catlin Group charted the likelihood of interception or being caught against the size of the terrorist cell. What they found was that a cell consisting of a single operator has only a 20% chance of being caught, compared to almost certainty of interception for a cell of up to 10 operators. How many of these so-called lone wolves are supported by larger terrorist networks is difficult to ascertain. The majority of lone wolf attacks either end with the attacker being killed by authorities or by suicide, making it difficult to know their full history or motivation. In relation to the two most recent acts of terrorism in Australia, authorities have said that the 15-year-old boy who killed a police worker in Parramatta had links to terrorism. There is also belief that Manharon Monis, the individual at the centre of the Lindt Cafe siege, also had links to terrorism. I believe that it is not a true act of terrorism, as has been defined, if that person is acting completely alone. It makes no sense for any political, religious, or ideological gain. Along with the evolution of the modern terrorist, their tactics have also evolved. Prior to September 11, and particularly during the period of IRA activity, it was common for terrorist attacks to occur as static events. That is, there would be a single target such as a building or persons. A bomb would be exploded in a building, targeting rival group members, police or military personnel. Civilian casualties were often collateral damage in hitting the intended target, but civilians themselves were rarely the intended target. Modern terrorist tactics differ. The modern terrorist aims for nothing less than to cause sensational destruction and to maximise the loss of life, usually civilians. What we now have is an aggressor determined to strike anywhere, at any time, against anyone, without warning. And their tactics have evolved through trial and error, the careful gauging of media response, and a spectacular thirst for blood. These attacks are predominantly delivered through hit-and-run methods and or by suicide missions. Of the modern terrorist attacks I mentioned earlier, all but one included a suicide mission. Suicide missions have become a key tactic of the modern terrorists. In 1982, only one country experienced a suicide bombing. However, last year, we saw a new record with 21 countries subjected to suicide bombings with increasing lethality. Even though almost the same number of suicide bombings occurred in 2014 as did last year, the number of civilians killed almost doubled last year. The following chart confirms the targets of modern terrorism. In 2014, citizens and property were the focus of over 15,000 attacks, representing nearly 50% of the targets engaged by terrorists, far greater than any other target. It is therefore clear that one of modern terrorism's top targets is now civilians. Another feature of modern terrorist tactics is the use of complex attacks. The trend worldwide is moving away from singular and static type events towards well-planned, well-coordinated, multi-location, multi-perpetrator attacks. These complex attacks stretches the authorities' capabilities to respond, giving the attackers more time to carry out their plan. More time means more chaos, and with it, more casualties. If we look at this graph, outlining changing tactics, the type of attacks such as hijacking, hostage taking, and attacks against infrastructure have all remained reasonably static, considering the increase in number of terrorist attacks globally. However, if we look at this same graph, but this time include bombings and armed assaults or shootings, it is clear that these two types of attack have become the preferred tactic of the modern terrorists. And bombings and shootings are often utilized together, particularly in complex attacks. The most recent complex attack was last November's Paris attack, which involved the use of the element of surprise, multiple attackers, multiple suicide bomb detonations, active shootings, and mass hostage taking. What we witnessed was a deployment of highly effective military tactics against an unsuspecting civilian population. This is indeed a very new era of terrorism. And with this new era comes considerable financial cost. In this chart, you can see there is a clear upward trend in the financial cost of terrorism, particularly since 2010, when the so-called Arab Spring began. In fact, by 2014, the economic cost of terrorism totaled $52.9 billion, greater than the financial cost of the September 11 attacks. Yet evolving terrorist tactics has not been matched by evolving security measures. Across both public and private sectors here in Australia, there has been a lack of definitive understanding of the modern terrorist threat. Security risk management measures are either not entirely adequate or are predicated upon outdated threats. This gap is exacerbated with authorities who are stretched too thin by being tied up with essential but resource-intensive business of surveillance and monitoring of people who are potential threats. Whilst investment has been made by both public and private sectors into enhancing electronic and physical security, into crisis management and business continuity planning, there has been oversight into protection of human capital. The same consideration that has been given to protection of property and business continuity has been overlooked in the true target of modern terrorism, civilians. This lack of preparedness beyond the obvious potential human cost exposes organisations to greater liability and casualty risks. How many here today would know what to expect and how best to respond if you were caught in a bomb explosion? What if you were involved in an active shooting? What if you were taken hostage? The average person who is the target of the modern terrorist, is simply unaware of how to react to the risk they find themselves living in. And unfortunately, this is happening right now. Having critical terrorism awareness training could enhance survivability for you and your colleagues. Traditional approaches to security risk management has focused heavily on training security guards and briefing wardens. Although purposeful, this approach only increases the preparedness of a small number of staff, whilst magnifying their responsibility to protect and coordinate others during a terrorist attack. This in itself unnecessarily limits the effectiveness of the overall response and still exposes organisations to unmitigated risk. Critical terrorism awareness training for all could enhance survivability for everyone. All employees, from the customer service rep through to the CEO, are human capital and are the most important assets of any organisation. We found an adequately protected and prepared workforce. Organisations expose staff to unmitigated damage both physically and emotionally, thereby exposing themselves to significant consequences and interminable problems post-terrorism event. In light of the current threat, organisations need to consider and incorporate the entire workforce into preparedness for terrorism events. From a risk perspective, preparing all employees on what to expect and how to react to a terrorist attack should be a natural extension of workplace health and safety training. It would educate, empower, and coordinate the entire workforce. It adds depth to existing and traditional security structures and enhances the capabilities of designated security personnel and wardens to better protect staff and coordinate their duties should the worst occur. Mandatory workplace health and safety training for terrorism events would also create a culture of situational awareness across the entire organisation, thereby generating additional benefits. All these positive factors would potentially reduce liability and casualty risk exposure for organisations. Beyond these immediate benefits, this responsibility to prepare employees for foreseeable risk falls under duty of care. The Australian Government has made clear that organisations must have such arrangements in place, given that our national terrorism threat level currently stands at probable. The insurance industry can also be actively involved in this critical preparedness by stapling to insurance products additional value-add products and services that would assist and encourage organisations to reduce their exposure. Plugging this critical gap in security risk management planning and reducing this exposure has benefits for all. The lack of preparedness for all in current security risk management planning is the critical gap we see broadly across both public and private sectors. Despite the best efforts of authorities, organisations cannot stop terrorists from preparing for or conducting attacks. But by adequately preparing their workforce, organisations will make themselves much harder targets. In conclusion, I would like to leave you with a quote from Mr. Ed Butler, the head of risk analysis at Poole Reinsurance Company, in his recent article titled, "The Implications of Brussels. How should the insurance market respond to the evolving threat posed by Daesh?" He says, and I quote, "If the Brussels attacks and last year's attacks in Paris represent an expansion of Daesh's strategy, then we must be innovative and agile in our response. If we are to continue to evolve to match the threat, then we must consider whether the current business interruption element of insurance products available is fit for purpose, and if not, how we can as a market respond to ensure that this gap is covered." Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes my talk today. I look forward to receiving your questions later on. Thank you.